I'm Chris Rebolo with a report on proposed cuts in Medicaid funding for the state of California. This is a special report for California Healthline, a daily news service from the California Healthcare Foundation.
These regulations, if they do go into effect, we will lose reimbursement for public hospitals, for mental health services, targeted case management, for all administration, Medi-Cal administration in the schools, for certain parts of transportation for the severely disabled to and from school. So it's the dramatic cutback of various Medicaid services and Medi-Cal funding for the state and various government entities.
That's Stan Rosenstein, California's director of Medi-Cal, going through a roster of proposed funding cuts for Medicaid, regulatory changes that could cost California as much as $1 billion annually if they are fully implemented. Here's the background. Medicaid was established in 1965 as a federal matching program with the states to provide acute and long-term care services to low-income children, parents, seniors, and people with disabilities. Medi-Cal is the nation's largest Medicaid program, serving nearly 7 million Californians. Over the past year, CMS, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, has proposed a series of regulatory changes that would reduce funding for some programs, shifting those costs to the state, counties, hospitals, and schools. Governor Schwarzenegger, who faces a looming $10 billion budget deficit, is imploring members of the California congressional delegation to take action. He wants Congress to extend moratoriums already in place for two of the rule changes and to block the others. Dennis Smith, director of the Center for Medicaid and State Operations in the Bush administration, says the rule changes are a response to the states using Medicaid inappropriately, often hiring consultants to help them milk federal dollars. Smith says the proposed changes are reasonable, accounting for only 1% of Medicaid spending.
It's a vitally important program, but it should not be used simply as an open-ended bank account for other programs, for states and local governments to simply say, well, if I can figure out how to call it Medicaid, then I can pass costs on to the program.
Two of the rules impact public safety net hospitals. They will go into effect next May unless Congress takes action to extend moratoriums which are currently keeping them at bay. One rule would eliminate Medicaid reimbursement for the training of doctors.
Should Medicaid, a program to serve poor people, be tasked with the responsibility of training physicians, many of which who may not see Medicaid patients in the future?
Smith says the rule change clarifies central Medicaid policy. Melissa Stafford Jones, CEO of the California Association of Public Hospitals, disagrees.
The Medicaid program for almost 40 years has paid for graduate medical education and the training of new physicians, so I think it's much more than a clarification. It's clearly an undermining and a true cut in terms of the support that the Medicaid program, essential support that they provide to training. For California's public hospitals, it would mean a loss of $86 million that supports the training of new physicians. And since half of California's new physicians are trained in public hospitals, clearly this would have an impact not only within public hospitals, but a ripple effect into the entire healthcare community.
There is no date certain for the other proposed rules to go into effect. Many of them are out for public comment, providing lots of work for lawyers who are trying to ferret out the devil in the details. Dan Bursevich is an associate managing attorney at Protection and Advocacy, Inc.
Some of the provisions of the regulations are completely appropriate and have the potential for being beneficial. For example, requiring written rehabilitation plans that have certain standards. That's something that advocates have always wanted. So that could potentially be a beneficial effect. What we're worried about, though, is for programs like foster care, we're afraid that people could fall between the cracks.
As an example, Bursevich says a foster child who currently receives medication under Medi-Cal through the Medicaid rehabilitation option might be denied case management services because CMS is now saying the foster care system should provide case management. Bursevich says foster care is likely to deny the case management claim because it's never covered medical services. In contrast, the lawyer says a child who's not in foster care could get the Medicaid case management services he or she needs.
We want to make sure that people aren't denied a service that other people who receive Medi-Cal are eligible for and getting just because of their status as, say, a child in foster care. And we're concerned that these regulations are vague enough to potentially allow both systems to deny services to people so that people will get a Medicaid service when they're not in foster care, but won't get a Medicaid service or a foster care service when they are in foster care.
Some of the proposed rule changes also foretell upcoming accounting nightmares in addition to funding cuts. California schools stand to lose more than $100 million a year based on CMS's plan to axe reimbursements for school-based Medicaid activities, including transporting disabled kids back and forth to school. But CMS says it will pay for disabled kids to be transported to medical appointments that occur during the school day. This has been a special report for California Healthline, a daily news service from the California Healthcare Foundation. If you have feedback or other issues you'd like to have addressed, please email us at editor@chcf.org. I'm Chris Rebelow. Thanks for listening.